episode 330 of the show. Welcome back. So glad you guys are here each and every time. This episode, the Big Ten just got bigger. For some reason, out of nowhere, USC and UCLA, two teams from California, are going to be joining the conference. What does that mean for everybody else? Some high-profile matchups late in the year in that cold weather in Kinnick. Give it to us. Come on now. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 330 of this here podcast. And happy 4th of July to everybody out here, Kluver, Kev. Kev, I know this is like one of your absolute favorite holidays, but you're in Iowa City in your office and not out on the lake at Paw Paw, Michigan. So you're probably not enjoying this here 4th nearly as much, but being as the patriotic soul you are, you know, red, white, and blue anyways. Fellas, it's good to be here with you. Looking forward to the conversation. I know it's not going to be much about football, except for the fact that we got like the best offensive lineman in the country. But aside from that, who knows what football we're going to talk about. Looking forward to it, though. Kluver, Kev, what do you got?
Kev, anything for that?
Yeah, nah, sucks not being back up at the lake. It is dead. The lake house is sold. And, yep, just spent the weekend working. So it's –
You sound depressed.
It's been a tough one to swallow, but it's what it is.
So it's your first horrid adult 4th of July is what you're saying.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's tough.
Kev, are you sad?
I'm tired. I'm pretty tired.
Is that stemming all the way back from an early Saturday morning, or let's call it a late Friday night, when you were working at 2:23 in the morning?
Yeah, that's what started it all off. Then I got stung in the face by a bee yesterday, so I've been pounding
Benadryls. And as you can see, actually look like somebody beat the shit out of you after they gave you date rape drug.
Bro, yeah, you look.
Yeah, so we got this going on right now too.
You look like Tavares from this weekend after.
Wow,
dude,
he had a tough fight,
bro. That fight was a war.
Yeah, it was.
That
so
was
Max and Volk.
I went to sleep after the Sugar Sean fight. But Kev, what the fuck happened to your face? What
got stung, man?
Why?
I never saw it. I think it was a wasp. But yeah, last night, and it just started swelling up.
Where were you?
And how loud did you absolutely throw obscenities everywhere?
Yeah, Drake, because you know he was motherfucking bad.
No, not at all, really. It didn't hurt that much. You just, the swelling just wouldn't stop going.
Did your eye completely close?
No. This is better than it was when I woke up this morning, but it's obviously still not good.
Bro, you're so ugly right now.
At any point did you think, oh shit, I need to stab myself with an EpiPen?
No, because I literally have no, like, it doesn't hurt anymore. Not itchy. Throat's not swelling up or anything. Just like half of my face is decided. Like,
I'm trying to figure out who you look like, bro. It's not Kevin Ward. I know that. Oh my God. Everyone listening right now, go to
you. Remember in Harry Potter when the face got all swolled up?
Yep.
That's Kev Ward right now.
Yeah. That's what's happening.
You actually look like the left side of your face got congestive heart failure.
Drake, he looks like he came out of an MMA match.
Yeah, if he just really had his left hand hanging low for three straight rounds.
Yeah.
He just couldn't figure out how to raise that left hand.
Got to guard the face.
Poking him right in his eye. Yeah.
Okay, well, this, what a turn. All right. Happy 4th of July, everybody. It's actually the 4th as we record this. Drake opened up with the patriotism. Big weekend for Kevin Ward, usually firing off, well, the Ward family firing off just crazy amounts of fireworks. Drake repping the Goopy t-shirt and your boy in the fully tented merch. Now, I had some people ask, hey, I saw that there was some fully tinted t-shirts. Where'd they go? How do you get those? Well, guess what? The some bitches put it behind a paywall. Those assholes, right? Now, this is called business. This is called business. We like children. We also just simply like ourselves.
Whoa. Not Jeffrey Epstein type of liking children.
Pause on that. We like to support the children, specifically the ones in the UI Children's Hospital.
There we go.
There are some facets to what we do that we monetize primarily and in some cases entirely for the children. These were two of them. Fully tented. If you do not know, you need to go back and listen to last season's Penn State preview episode where it wasn't planned, but Drake and I were solo for the, or not solo, but Kevin was not with us. Somehow we got into a rant about what it's like to come out of the tunnel for a night game, and Drake dropped the fully tented line for the first time and it kind of caught fire. And now we got merch. We got the campfire. We got the Washed Up Walk-Ons tent, H-Bam and the smoke. It's honestly the most detailed design that we've ever done. You're muted.
It's one of the most detailed designs you could have for a shirt, because there's a whole lot of details in that that people have to understand. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we got the DHT mascot shirt as well that Drake is repping. So if you want to see either of those t-shirts or Kevin's face that looks like a dodgeball right now, come to the YouTube, right? And push subscribe. We're just over 1,700 subscribers. Let's push it towards 2,000. Huh? Let's do that. Now, 4th of July, not going well. Assholes all over Waukee shooting off fireworks into my bedtime. Any fun? I know the fireworks got canceled for you yesterday, Drake, which is partially why we moved this to recording on Monday morning.
Boys, you want to hear something crazy?
Sure.
I think I'm on my way to being Phil Mickelson.
That seems like a stretch, but I'll listen.
The past 2 days, Kaylee and I have gone out, and she said she just wanted to ride around the cart while I played some golf. She's like, she really enjoys riding around the cart, being outside, watching me play golf. I'm like, wow, that's really cool.
Every guy that likes golf is sitting there listening, going, how the hell do I get my wife to do that?
That's exactly what I said. I literally said, this is every dude's dream, you enjoying watching me play golf.
Yeah.
And I went out and shot 38, 37. So for any of you counting, that's 75, which for a guy who is a very, very weekend golfer at best anymore, I probably play now, hopefully a little more often, but it was like once a month. That ain't too shabby. I'm starting to find a lot of fairways, find a lot of greens, have a lot of easy two putts. It's golf's getting a little fun.
I would say that's an understatement. Or you're underselling how good that is. Anybody who follows Barstool knows that Trent's trying to break 90 right now. And I don't even think I could break 100 if I wanted to. But
playing by the rules, it's very hard to break 90. Breaking 100 is a little more reasonable for somebody who just plays golf every once in a while.
Sure.
But breaking 90 by the rules is playing better than bogey golf. And like, it's hard to make pars. If either your first or second shot is a little bit errant, especially your second shot, if your second shot is errant, it's really hard to make a par. So like 90 is a tough score.
Yeah. Well, 75 is really good. Yeah. Okay. Well, there's that. Well, that's a decent time. So you're going to start golfing more.
Yeah, dude, I think I'm going to go try and play 9 after this podcast before we go to the fireworks.
Are you going
to
join the Live Tour?
I'll tell you what, they could offer me peanuts compared to what they offered the other guys, and I'd show up and get 60th every week.
Just last.
I'll tell you what, I would show up and bring the vibes that the Live Tour is looking for.
Yeah.
And finish 60th, because they need somebody to finish 60th, right? Somebody's got to do it. Mm-hmm. I will consistently show up, miss the cut, but for the first 2 days, bring the fucking thunder. They can put me as the third guy in a feature group, and the vibes will be immaculate.
I don't see a scenario where they take somebody entertaining that's also okay at golf. Like, isn't, now granted, on these courses that these guys
play. Dude, if I have to play from 7,300 yards though,
yeah,
I'll probably shoot 80. And if the rough's bad,
yeah,
if there's a lot of hazards, yeah, now I'm pushing 85.
Let's get somebody maybe a little better than you, who's still entertaining, who's going to bring that vibe. but then let's mic him up like they do for those matchups on TV.
So you're looking for Phil Mickelson.
I'm looking for the vibe of the Phil Mickelson, Tom Brady, Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen matches where they mic him up for the entire round, but just one guy who adds that flair to the actual serious round that's going on. Yeah. How fun would that be?
Where do I sign up for that? And they also, they paid Phil Mickelson like $300 million to kind of be that guy.
Absurd. Dude, it's so much money.
Hey, you want to know on the topic of golf?
Sure.
Somebody help us out with this charity golf tournament, please. Because I tried my hand three different times and got shit on.
I think
somebody who knows what they're doing, please help us get this thing done.
I think we were just a little behind the ball on it as far as time-wise. We just need like a month or two extra. So this year we're going to be prepared. Like,
what if we just start now, huh?
Or we start now.
And I probably just got to call Blue Top now. Just be like, hey, can we do this?
We'll figure it out.
Well, that's what we said last year and we fucking didn't. It was supposed to have already happened.
Maybe it was optimistic, but on the topic of miking people up in the middle of what they're doing, I watched the first. My family.
How checked out is Kevin on this podcast, dude?
Hates his life.
He
right now.
He could not care less.
Absolutely.
I'm exhausted, man. The manager are getting to me. I've got nothing in the tank right now.
Maybe he'll give an opinion.
Sit back and listen, Big Daddy.
Yeah. When we get to the UCLA USC joining the Big Ten, hopefully we can get a couple.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Hopefully a couple opinions come out of Kevin. That one.
Can we get him a cup of coffee in the meantime?
Can we get him a line of Coke? Come on now.
Whoa.
I watched.
You're not promote. Skiing on this podcast. We're snowboarders only.
but if you want to ski. My family came over. My brother's big into sports betting and watching a much broader depth of sports than I do. They're into baseball. So last night.
So you're saying they're degenerates.
They are.
That's why they're into watching a broader spectrum of sports, is because they're degenerates.
Yes. Way more than me. So last night, though, we're, I don't know, 60 games, 70 games into the baseball season, maybe more. I watched the first three innings of baseball that I've watched all year. It was the Phillies versus the Cardinals, and they had Kyle Schwarber mic'd up for an entire inning while he was playing left field. I think he plays left field, plays the outfield. I was like, dude, I would watch baseball if they did this with a player every inning. I would watch. Finally, that would be the thing that finally gets me over the hump. But they only did it for like one inning a game or something, and I'm just like, I can't. It was actually entertaining. It was awesome hearing those guys talk. Fucking amazing. Let's see, how do we go from here? I know. I want to. This will get a response from Kevin, and I think I kind of know Kevin's answer now.
Good, Kevin, you're up.
It's gonna be quick. And it involves you too. So I don't know where the fuck you're going. he just gets up and leaves.
Yep.
What'd you say?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, you didn't say anything. Okay. So yesterday we're texting, Kev, and you say, hey, no one's going to listen tomorrow anyway. It's the 4th. Everybody's off. What if we just record tomorrow? And I was like, hey, that's actually a really good idea. Coming from the guy behind the scenes, I was like, you know, when we have holidays, when there's a long weekend, Memorial Day, Labor Day, and people have these Mondays off, a lot of people are listening to these podcasts on their way to and from work. No work today, so they push it off. And then sometimes it slips behind and people don't end up listening to the episode, the numbers drop. So great idea by Kevin. We push it to Monday.
Kevin's got full, look at that Kevin guy. Smart guy.
Smart guy.
Great ideas.
Wouldn't know it by looking at him because he gets stung in the face by something. But he is generally smart most of the time. So I say, that's a good idea, Kev. He responds back, does that sound like a plan? I respond back, yes, it does. Okay, so I'm assuming that Drake sees these text messages. Where I'm going with this is I'm trying to get into your guys' heads here. So Drake, I text you guys this morning and I say, hey, I'm ready to pod whenever. After we had said the night before, we'll pod in the morning.
We did.
And you say, I'm not available until this afternoon.
I wasn't.
And in my head, I thought, huh, if I knew that I wasn't going to be available in the morning and the text message is talking about how we're going to pod in the morning, I would say something.
and I just
so now what are the chances? What are the chances that that I got into some vitamins? Kaylee and I got into playing some games, some Connect Four, some Phase 10, some Yahtzee. And then we threw on some Blacklist and I fell asleep during Blacklist. And then I woke up this morning, went about my business and basically didn't check my phone until I was sitting on the couch waiting to walk out the door for like the past 12 hours. And then I ignore the text messages. And then I'm in the car halfway to Kingston Springs when it pops up that the group chat got a text, had that one read to me. And I was like, yeah, man, just going to have to hit the pause button on that.
Sure. Okay. That makes sense. I'm going to say the chances are high.
Yeah. That's a pretty detailed story for the chances to be low.
Feels like it would check out. Now, Kevin, on the back end of this, not nearly as questionable. After that this morning, he says, I'm not going to be available to this afternoon. He then later sends a text, I'll be good at 1. I send a text, I'll be good at 1:30, implying, okay, 1:30 will be good for both Drake and I. And then you don't say anything until 1:30.
1:22.
Okay, 1:22. And you say 1:30 is good. Now I'm assuming.
At which point, you guys are super lucky that I was still awake. Because if my dogs hadn't wanted to go outside and I didn't take the dogs outside to play some ball, I would have been asleep. So this, I would have never responded.
Sure. I'm assuming, Kev, it's because your face looks like you got ran over by a semi and you just
I've been in and out of consciousness all day so far. Yeah.
You're down bad. You're kind of like Lauren today. Lauren's having a rough day.
Happy fourth.
Yeah, this is fucking happy tough.
Fucking fourth.
Okay. So that clears that up. As we move from those less important things to more important things, let's quickly talk about a couple of our sponsors. One of them is DRF Sports, as we just quickly mentioned before.
They're the shit.
They are the shit. They are financing the degeneracy here.
And they finance all of Kluver's vacations.
It's just not true. You have people actually believing this. People are commenting and messaging me asking if that's
about
real.
The truth. They're asking you about the truth.
I can show you the account. I'm spending my own money, not the Washed Up Walk-Ons money. Dude, if I was spending Washed Up Walk-Ons money, I don't even know what to say.
You wouldn't still be in the red from that Universal trip if you were spending our money.
Wouldn't give a shit about the Universal trip because then we would have covered that by now. Anyway,
I genuinely have no idea how much we have.
I will send you a screenshot of the account right after this podcast.
Okay.
You guys will be pleased to know that I haven't fucking used it all.
Well, that's good.
Even though I could.
Dude, you know what's
you
hilarious,
absolutely could
Kevin?
And get away with it quite easily.
You know what's hilarious, Kevin, is you and I care so little and trust Kluver so much that we are literally in the pitch black.
Yes, that is correct.
It's so true.
It is midnight when it comes to Kevin and I's knowledge on what goes on in our books.
Who could have started up like 8 different shell corporations under Washed Up Walk-Ons LLC and doing all types of crazy shit, laundering money for the cartels, and we'd have no idea. And we're part owners.
We're liable for 66% of it.
And your names are on 2/3 of it. Yeah. They're going to come to you in 10 years and be like, all right, well, says here that you signed the papers, you know, and you guys are on the hook.
And
for
this is called a RICO Act. Yeah. Ever heard Kluver's of it?
Kluver's gone black mode. He's like on an island in the middle of the Caribbean somewhere.
Emptied out the shell corporation.
Yeah, I'm in the Caymans living off of pennies, you know, just on the beach, and you guys are trying to find me, but you guys are taking the hit. Like,
yeah, we're the fall guys for the whole thing.
It's a movie. All that to say that isn't happening. It's not the current plan. Could be the plan in the future. DRF, keep financing us. Keep being great for the boys. Keep being a great sports book, bringing you guys great content. IA.drf.com. They're easy. They have the best information for people who are new to betting. Like, you don't know what a parlay is. You hop on, you read a few lines, and you're like, oh, shit. Okay, I don't feel as uncomfortable getting into this whole betting game. Everything's very user-friendly, drf.com, as well as our guys at AdCraft are back on for another couple months here.
Wait, that was all a DRF ad?
Well, half of it was you guys getting put in jail by the government, but half of it was also a DRF ad. And I'm going to jump in here because I was very rudely interrupted, like I am most of the time. I'll take it. It produces good content for a lot of the show, but I didn't get to talk about AdCraft. I was going to throw a little AdCraft plug in there. They're back for more. AdCraft is the merch company that does all of the Wash Up Walk-Ons t-shirts and flags, and they bring you all of the winter items that we come with every Christmas. All the stuff we do runs through AdCraft. Their customer service is probably some of the best that I've ever had to deal with, including like just any company I've ever worked with in my life. And so the fact that I'm dealing with them on a business level, we're dealing with them on a business level, trying to create merchandise, create designs, do custom stuff with their art team, it's incredible. They just ran a promotion for like $2 white t-shirts. If you want to make custom merch of your own, they do stuff like that all the time. If you want to have custom merchandise, get in touch with adcraftwebstores.com. Or if you have another request, something specific that you need done, you can just use their contact feature on their website. Sports teams, company uniforms, family gatherings, something funny, I don't know. Whatever reason you would need to create custom t-shirts or other merch, AdCraft is your boys. All right, now back to this dumb conversation about putting the other two in jail.
Shout out,
DRF. Who's going to take the walk-ons account and put it on some ponies in the DRF app and... He's going to multiply it.
At some point, we
will DRF take a bet on our full account balance.
I would have to imagine.
Guarantee it.
I would have to imagine. There's people that are betting more money than we have money, but we don't have money, right? We don't have George Kittle money.
No shit.
Speaking of George, you said he hit 275 for six?
Six on the fourth set of incline. Like Ooh. The bar wasn't loaded.
Yeah, that's
I wish I had a Tendo on it. You can go watch it on Instagram. The bar was flying.
George's
That's a pretty impressive incline.
I think the most I've ever inclined was maybe at Iowa. I did 275 for a set of four and it wasn't moving fast.
But yeah, this was so far from a max out, it was comical.
Yeah. Right before we came in here, I'm restarting the 20 rep squat cycle. So that's something. We started at 230 today and you add 5 pounds basically until you can't do it anymore. And it does wonders for your max squat. Grows the tree.
What do you base your starting weight at?
You find a max 5 rep max.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, you find a 5 rep max. That's how you would say that. And then you go backwards 90 pounds from that weight.
Okay.
And you start there. So I did three. So
roughly you can only do 295 for five?
You're fucking horrible at math, Drake.
Wait, what did you say you did squat at? What was your first set of?
230.
Oh, so 325.
I actually did 340 for five last week, but I decided to bump it down a little bit just so that I wasn't getting, because my knee has been wonky. So I did 340 for five.
I was thinking 205 for whatever reason. No,
I did 340 for a set of five last week. I should technically be starting at 250. I could be at 250 right now. I decided to go 225 because I will end at 315 for 20, which I'm still pretty happy with if we get there.
But what if you can do 320? Why are you ending at 315?
Because I'm only doing it for 6 weeks because it's part of a bigger phase deload another. It's deeper than that. But the way usually people do it is you keep going until you can no longer hit the set of 20 at another 5 pounds per session. If anyone,
this is every day.
It's 3 days a week.
3 days a week. Okay.
You would not be able to do it every day.
I was like, yeah.
Your legs are so trashed. You guys know, I mean, you guys have been there, obviously, to a further extent than most people listening. But even people listening who have done squats, you go into your local YMCA and you haven't squatted in 6 months. You throw like whatever, something hard on the bar and you do three sets of 10 and you go to walk down the stairs and it feels like there's knives deep in your glutes, that's basically what you feel like every day for this, for the set, for the 4 weeks starting at week three. So week three, four, five, and six, your legs simply don't work, but you get so strong.
And that's, where do you put this at, the beginning or the end of your workout?
For me,
is it a workout on its own? That for, and just a bunch of tests.
Dude, it would be so dumb to do this. I'm not going to, I'll answer your question in a second, Kevin. If you wanted to, I'm not joking. I am not joking. If you wanted to add 100+ pounds to your max squat in 6 weeks, you could do it with this. If you were on gear and you did the 20 rep squat cycle, I'm not, that's no joke. You could go a max, you could be maxing 315 and maybe touch 430 in 6 weeks. If you just did a little bit of tren and you did the 6 week squat cycle, it's, the results are absolutely incredible. That is not advice. That's not medical advice. I don't recommend that. That's illegal. Don't do it. I'm just saying if someone were to do it, their legs would look like a horse.
But if you need to know where to get it, I got a guy in Panama.
Yeah, the guy down in the Caymans. Kev, I do it. So I do two sessions a day. I do it in the second session so that I have a good amount of food in me, because we all know what it feels like to stand under a squat bar when you don't have fuel. And I like to put it towards the end, because once you're done with the set, you basically don't feel like doing anything else.
Yep. Yep. That's what I figured.
So it's basically the last thing of the day that I do. And that makes it all the more harder. It's another reason why I backed it off like 20 pounds from where I should have started. 230 felt pretty good today, pretty light. But it will not feel light when I get up to 275, 280. Like, that's going to be brutal.
No, it's going to hurt, but
I will be strong. All right, let's get into this. The Big Ten has two new teams. What the fuck's going on? Anybody have any idea? What's happening?
Oh.
Where did this come from? All of a sudden, it's like, hey, rumors are that USC and UCLA are going to join the Big Ten. And then an hour later, it's like official.
Yeah, out of nowhere. I don't know, man.
Initial reaction.
This ain't your father's college football game anymore. It's
what'd you say, Drake?
I said it's cool, but what sense does it make?
I don't know if it makes any sense.
Zero, money, right?
Makes money.
Money. Sense. It doesn't make sense. It makes money. Dollars.
It doesn't make sense to make dollars. Yep. That's a great quote. My initial thoughts are UCLA and USC, other than when they play each other, now have to fly like 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours.
At minimum.
If they're playing Rutgers.
Imagine if they're playing Rutgers.
It's a six.
It's an 8 hour flight to go to
Rutgers. Seven? Is it eight?
Yeah. From LA? From LA?
Probably six.
But it's a six. Is seven.
That's like multiple weeks. Like, imagine you get, and I'm sure scheduling wise, they'll try and dabble with this a little bit, but like, what if they had Rutgers, Penn State back-to-back away games or something stupid like that? Like,
you ain't going to school that week. You're staying out on the East Coast.
Right. You're just
going to
keep them out on the East Coast and everyone's doing online work.
Or else you're spending 28 hours flying back and forth across the country. You're losing both games.
The other immediate thing that comes to mind for
especially if in the cold, imagine it's Rutgers, Penn State, or even Penn State, Ohio State, because Ohio State's decently far east.
Yeah.
Back-to-back. Forget it. You lose both games.
USC and UCLA are in for, this was the second thing that came to mind, they're in for a rude awakening.
Oh, can we get UCLA or USC and Kinnick late? Can we get it?
And the thing is, like, I know they're not joining to what, 24, 25?
USC is 24. I don't know about UCLA.
Okay. Well, they have a couple of years, but they're not exactly in the prime of their programs right now.
Either. No, they're not. They're not. 2006.
USC's added a good bit of talent, but UCLA.
Well, yeah, a lot of talent came with Lincoln Riley, him going out that way.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, they could get their they could get a really rough awakening if they don't improve here.
I made a joke the other day in our group chat about, one of those teams is going to come to Evanston. and they're going to get their ass handed to them by an okay Northwestern team in the snow one year. And they're going to look like assholes.
Yeah. Dude, imagine some of those skinny USC wide receivers who are used to the Southern California. They grew up in Florida, Texas, California, wherever they grew up, ended up in Southern California. Now they're in Kinnick in November. It's cold. Dude, they will be frozen like statues and get eaten by bears.
Their drop percentage is going to go up drastically. Like,
yeah, it's I mean, yeah, you know, it's just purely a financial move for both the teams joining the Big Ten.
It's huge for the Big Ten.
Yeah. You get TV rights to the LA market now. So that's huge.
That's insane.
But just logistically, geographically, makes no sense. Whatsoever.
No sense. And this means that the Hawks are going to be flying out to play one of those two teams probably at least once every couple years, maybe several years back to back.
I saw a funny tweet. It was a picture of Vince Young scoring the final touchdown in the 2005 Rose Bowl game versus USC. And it said, a classic SEC Big Ten matchup.
That's hilarious, dude. Oh, fuck. I guess that brings the question, like, what's the impetus for this? Like, I know we had the big Oklahoma, Texas, they're going to the SEC, and then everything kind of died down. There was talks of like, oh shit, is Iowa State going to join the Big Ten? What's going to happen to the Big 12?
Big Ten doesn't want Iowa State. They don't need them.
Facts.
Right.
I mean, it does not behoove the Big Ten really whatsoever to add Iowa State.
There was just a lot of questions about what happens to the Big 12. Then, correct me if I'm wrong, the Big 12 officially added Houston, BYU,
Cincinnati,
and UCF.
Yes.
They added those four teams, which I think are four great teams for the Big 12, actually.
Good programs, absolutely.
BYU is one of the best name brands in all of sports just because they have such a specific fan base. Cincinnati has been ball in the last couple years. Houston has had several good years, and UCF, hey, they were the national champions in 2013 or whatever it was, you know.
2017, I think.
So not bad programs. They end up with more teams than they started with, and I think the conference is okay. But to me, and I'm not like following all the insiders and pundits of college football, I kind of thought like that was probably going to be the movement. Like that was it. And then all of a sudden this hits. And now there's talks of, well, the Pac-12 is no longer going to exist. We're going to continue to add teams from the Pac-12 to the Big Ten. Oregon, Washington, several others are targets of the Big Ten, or they're rumored to be. Are we going to end up?
You know what it is? It's the Cold War right now. And it's going to be the Big Ten versus the SEC. And
that's what it is.
They're just going to try to expand their influence, and it's going to be two mega conferences.
Two super conferences. Because where this feels like this is going is a Power Four instead of a Power Five as step one. And then from there, I don't know where it goes.
But, you know, then the Big Ten already has their so-called alliance with the Pac-12 and ACC. Then they steal the Pac-12's two most profitable teams.
You're right. The fucking alliance was created last year, and that thing is like, that was
aside from Oregon, there is no money left in the Pac-12.
That's it. Stanford.
Stanford. But Stanford has
But Stanford's not like it's a good name brand school, but like not a huge school with a huge alumni base.
Yeah.
Oregon's got a bazillion dollars though.
Yeah. Oregon is like, yeah, their last.
Washington's been pretty good, but they're so low market, you know.
So low market. It's similar to Iowa, honestly.
It's lower than that, way lower than that. There's no way their facilities at Washington look like Iowa's. There's no way.
But I'm just saying, like, compared to like a name brand like Ohio State or Bama or Texas, like Iowa is a good, you know, we're playing in the top 25 every year. Washington as well, but there's just no. There's not a lot to bring you to, like, you know, bring in new fans, right? This is going to like create a whole subset of young, like, fans in the Big Ten country in the Midwest that are like, oh yeah, I'm a UCLA fan. I'm a USC fan. They're going to jump on just like I was when the Knights, the Las Vegas Knights, Golden Knights came into the hockey league. I was like, hey, this is the perfect time. Tyler Kluver's now a hockey fan, baby. I'm into the NHL. Golden Knights fan. Let's go. It never panned out. I didn't actually get into hockey, but this is weird. I don't know. I'm with you, Drake, watching USC. I mean, we went to the Holiday Bowl and smacked them anyway. What if we get them in Kinnick like we had that game against Purdue to win the West in 15, and it snows 6 to 8 inches the night before, and they're in their hotel like, hey, boys, half of our team has never seen snow before. What the fuck are we going to do? It's what we asked for. We always said Bama. We're like, give us Bama November. Give us Bama November 18th.
But make sure Mother Nature's being a real bitch that day.
Just a son of a bitch. And see what they can do. Well, we're going to get to see. I'll tell you this. Maybe the coolest new rivalry is going to be like USC Penn State. That's a cool like name brand potential rivalry.
They had a really good
Penn State game. Pisses on them a few times in a row.
They play
in the Rose Bowl and had a really good game. What was that?
All-time 2016? Rose Bowl in 2016.
Well, they didn't play any defense. There's no defense play.
It was a Big 12 game. KF would call that the Under Armour Bowl.
Because they all look good at the combine. Because
they all look great. And they're, oh shit, okay. All right, we're going to go into Happy Valley. All right. It's going to be rowdy. Right. And they're going to come out.
And they are going to look better than you in uniform. Right. I can guarantee that.
He told us that so many times.
He was really right.
There was not a wrong fiber in him. They look like the fucking built like mannequins. Okay. They're going to look better than you. That's just the way it is.
When they come out in blue, they're going to look like the Buffalo Bills.
You got to put all that shit behind you. Okay. They'll play football. Godwin.
Okay. So overall though, what are you guys' feelings towards are they positive, negative, in favor of the
I think they're actually positive.
I'm positive. I think it's super silly, but it's cool. Like I said, I'm for it. It makes more cool college football games that potentially involve Iowa. More reasons for me to get fired up about an Iowa game. Like I'm desperately looking for reasons anymore to get fired up about the Hawks. So give me the Hawks versus USC and let me piss all over Jared's Cheerios when the Hawks step on them.
Jared is a USC fan. What a bitch. I am positive, Kev. I think that with NIL and Oklahoma and Texas moving and some kid at Miami getting $9 million or whatever was sent to the group chat the other day for money and the changing landscape – and the NCAA on its way to being completely irrelevant. I don't know if you can really put your foot in the ground and say, no, I want college football to be exactly how it's been for 40 years. You know, like, I don't think you're going to stop that. So I'm at the acceptance part of the five stages of grief or whatever, maybe. if that's a thing. And I'm trying to decide where I think it becomes silly and I'm on the negative side. Because if we add in Washington and Oregon, right, that puts us at 18 teams in the conference. When does it become stupid? Like 20 teams in a conference doesn't even – that just feels like a whole division of college football. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know where it ends. For now, I'm okay with it. I think like Drake said, it creates some cool matchups.
We already have the entirety of continental United States covered.
You go coast to coast. You literally are looking at the Statue of Liberty when you fly into Rutgers, and you're going to be looking at the downtown LA.
You're going to be looking at Skid Row, smelling homeless booty hole.
Well, okay. That's a way to put it. Geographically, it obviously makes zero sense, but I guess no one gives a shit. What do you think about it?
I'm kind of with you. You know, it's like college football is changing, and if you don't change along with it, you might fall behind.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me worries though that college football is, it's obviously never going to be the same. Mm-hmm. And to that point, that it might be to the overall detriment of the sport, like popularity in general, you know. Mm. If people just keep making moves based off money, people, I think fans will start to see that and maybe just put, you know, put them off a little bit.
It will become closer to the NFL.
Right, exactly.
Where there is still a massive pull for the sport. It's still going to be a big thing, but the special feeling of it, the flair of what college has been, is gradually slipping into the abyss.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's just going to be like another professional sports league.
Yeah. I can't argue that. I think we're probably, if we're trending in one direction versus the other, I think we're trending towards that, not away from it. So, you know, I don't know what stops that. It's really interesting to me, honestly, because KF is not a stupid guy, that he loves football so goddamn much that he renewed his contract through 29. Think about, it's 22 right now. Think about what the landscape's going to look like in just 5 years when he still has 2 years left on his contract. And he's dealing with all this bullshit at the tail end of his career. And that guy, that legend, is still standing up right before they walk the tunnel every game in Kinnick. We're going to play tough. We're going to play smart, good football together. Let's go. And the Hawks are still, I'm getting fucking goosebumps. They're still standing up fucking. And then they're patting the wall and they're fucking. And he's still leading them out. I'm going to have a whole family by then. And there's going to be one conference by that time. It's going to be one conference of 68 teams. I don't know.
But yeah, to like your point earlier, it's like, you know, 20 teams in a conference, like you're going to play a couple of these teams like once every 4 or 5 years.
And they're in your conference.
Yeah.
It's weird to me. You know what else is weird to me, Drake? Why are you wearing glasses?
Dude, they're blue light glasses and I've been having trouble sleeping. And so I'm just going to be trying to cut the blue light out of my life for a bit by using these glasses and see if it helps me sleep.
These prescriptions that I'm wearing have the old blue light blocker in them as well. Didn't come cheap. I about shit my pants when I bought these glasses.
These ones are free via George Kittle. Thanks, pal.
Blue light glasses cost like $10.
Right, but the blue light is like one feature of like 40 that come in this prescription glasses that I actually like. These actually are legit glasses, not just. And they're like, I forget what brand they are, but they're way too nice of a brand.
It's all right. That walk-on account will help you out.
Yeah, I might. Who knows? I might
have health insurance, by the way. Eye insurance, dental, any of that?
No, if Lauren wasn't a teacher, I'd be fucked.
You could sign up for.
Actually, why is this podcast not paying for my benefits?
It's not paying for my benefits either.
Yeah. But that's because you get benefits and Kevin gets benefits. But I'm the only one in this broadcast that doesn't get benefits. And I'm the only one who shows up consistently and says fun shit. So
you're a 1099 independent contractor employee. So you're
true.
No. I don't agree to that at all. 1099.
Well, you signed the document. So you did agree to that.
Wait, that's what we signed?
I mean, that's the nature of our partnership. Yeah.
Damn. You think I knew what I signed when I signed it? I just scribbled.
Oh, Drake, you're just like everyone else out there. I signed it. I didn't know that I had to do what it said. I am being impressed right now. This is so bad.
Drake is the butt of the joke that the Human Centipede South Park episode is based on.
No, you didn't read it.
We agreed that we could do this.
What a great episode.
That was a fun. South Park's an all-time great show.
It's a legendary show. They talk about not answering to anybody and doing whatever they want to do.
Dude, but they always have new content because they can just always make fun of like what's going on in the world.
Anything. Both sides of the political parties.
Yeah, like no one is spared from their. It's hilarious.
Other countries, other religions, doesn't matter.
I love it. It's a great show.
It's my favorite
show.
Where do I want to take this? I want to talk about Proctor, and we will in more detail. I think I'm going to save that because I have more recruit, like more than just Proctor has been happening in recruiting. And
that was literally the only thing I intro'd with.
I know, but I'm going to save it.
You're a piece of shit.
Well, keep them on their seats. You know, did you guys see PJ Fleck taking shit?
Oh, getting smoked. And I loved it. PJ Fleck is a cunt.
Bloody cunt, eh?
Bloody.
I had heard one thing about him that I saw was tweeted out that like the team like has to like stand and clap for him when he comes to the room in team meetings.
What?
Yeah.
He's got him in a cult, bruh.
Dude, no. If I had a coach, that wouldn't have gone over well. I don't know about that one. That fucking makes me weird, feel right? Like that one makes me feel like a little bitch boy. And I might look like a bitch boy. I might play with Rubik's cubes and do CrossFit, but I ain't standing and clapping like you're my king when you walk in the room. Not a goddamn chance. Especially if I look like the better version of you, PJ.
Yeah. 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 I bet you could beat PJ in a CrossFit competition for sure.
What are you talking, bro? I could beat almost anyone in the world relatively in a CrossFit competition.
But PJ Fleck would beat the shit out of you if he had to.
Not a chance. Absolutely no chance.
If anyone wants a good laugh, go on YouTube and search PJ Fleck Western Michigan football traditions.
Yeah, that's
tried to start his own traditions and they're hilarious.
Yikes. When all the stuff came out with Iowa going on, well, past 2 years now, I was curious because, yes, obviously Iowa had some very specific issues. Every school has guys who washed out who feel like they were slighted by the coaching staff. Every school.
Sure.
And obviously nothing has come out as big as the Iowa thing. But I'm always interested to know, like, what's going to be the next school that just former players, like recently former players, just end up shitting on their coach and just start exposing them for. And like PJ Fleck definitely fits that bill. Like he, and there was a lot of like anonymity. I don't know if the account or who specifically what player posted it. I didn't look that far into it, but we were getting screenshots in the Discord and it was like, he's a phony. He cheated on his wife or his, you know, current wife, or I don't even know. Like he's,
that part was the best. Just airing out his dirty laundry where he's throwing his dick.
I'm going to tell a story right now.
Please.
That I don't have pure proof of.
Please.
But it comes from a damn good source.
Kevin, buckle up. We just prefaced this.
When we were still at Iowa and PJ Fleck was hired from Western Michigan, I was talking to one of our strength coaches who obviously was connected. A lot of the strength coaches go to the same conferences. They go to the same certifications, all this stuff. They connect with each other to, you know, talk about best practice. They had it on pretty good authority that when PJ was at Western Michigan, who was the really good receiver, tall
Corey Davis.
The story goes that there was a big time donor he was the biggest donor for Western Michigan or one of the big donors, or he had power in the Western Michigan community. Older guy, younger, attractive wife, fake tits. Like, you know, she was he was just showing her off basically by being with her. And
don't tell me Corey Davis was fucking old buddy's wife.
Not just Corey Davis.
Oh no.
But this guy was having PJ Fleck and Corey Davis double up his wife. I swear to God, I was told this and I looked at the person and said, that is not fucking real. And they and they said, that was my reaction, but this comes from a good source, very close to the situation. Maybe it wasn't they were doing it at the same time, but they were taking turns on this donor's wife or this hotshot's wife.
Sorry, Corey Davis, you had to be collateral damage.
I mean, hey, good for Corey. I don't know if he had a girlfriend at the time. Maybe he was just single. He was getting to pork this up. this hot donor's wife.
We might have to check with our lawyers whether we're doing any defamation work or anything.
For real.
No. This is allegedly. This is alleged. This, I'm not saying that this is true. What I am saying is Corey Davis was fully tented in Western Michigan.
I'm out of here.
In this guy's wife. And that's
I can hear no more.
Okay. Bye, Kev. We got Kevin to quit the pod.
That's usually a me move.
That's usually a you move, and that's usually a DHT kind of thing. I swear to God. I'm gonna tell you who it was that told me this too, and you're gonna be like, oh shit. And then you're gonna believe it. I don't know anything else.
Well, I figure I know who told you. I just don't know who told them.
Yeah. So PJ's an interesting guy. Might have a few things in the closet. And that's all I'm gonna say. I'm gonna finish this podcast. Hopefully you guys have been entertained with this one. Happy 4th of July. I'm going to finish this podcast with something that I told this person I would do. I honestly, as you know, Drake, most girls aren't funny to begin with. And definitely if they're 15-year-old high school girls. But Lauren had a player on her volleyball team that just went to nationals, finished up their season. Her name's Kate Nelson. She's one of the funniest 15-year-olds I've ever met in my life. And she asked for a shout out on the pod, you know, like probably 10 times, asked to come on the podcast. And I said, you're probably not going to come on the podcast, but I will give you a shout out. The other day we were at Nationals in Indianapolis. It was in between games. They were somewhere where they had a sign in the grass. I think it was just like a restaurant or something. And the sign said no dogs on the grass. And she had one of her friends take a video of her looking at the sign, doing like a Mutombo finger to it, and then like grittying on the grass like she's the dog, like I'm a dog. And the video was the funniest shit I've ever seen. And I just looked at Lauren and I go, I fucking hate that she's so funny. The girl also has a 30-inch vert. She can fly and she's 15 years old. So shout out to Kate Nelson. She calls herself Kate Demon Time Nelson.
Who hurt her?
K Nelly, Demon Time Nelson. And she goes to Dally. So shout out to K Nelly. That's how I'm ending this podcast. I hope you guys had a fantastic 4th. I hope you enjoyed that story about PJ Fleck. I hope that Kevin comes back to the podcast. I really do. And that's an alleged story, by the way. I'm not making any downright claims, but that's just what I heard. And everybody, make sure that if you're shooting off any post-holiday fireworks, that you don't blow your hands off. And
but if you do, make sure you send it to us. We'll post it on our Patreon, www.patreon.com/washofwalkons.
That is true. We'll talk to you next time. Shout out to DRF for sponsoring the episode and the podcast as always. Until then, peace.